Welcome to our weekend teaching today, First Five Friend. Today, Joy joins us. And Joy, this is a teaching that for sure may feel like you're stepping on our toes, but it's so very good and encouraging as you share biblical wisdom on how to walk through the times we find ourselves in the midst of waiting. Whether it's delays yet to be answered prayers or receiving a denial but not understanding why, I'm so grateful you share theology with us, as well as just sweet words of wisdom and encouragement from your heart from when we find ourselves waiting in God's waiting room. So Joy, let's hear your teaching.
Thank you so much, Wendy. And hello, First Five Friend. In week four of our Don't Let Go study, we discuss what to do when we're confronted with an unwanted delay. And of course, we might be tempted to try to speed things up on our own. And then other times we have no other choice but to wait. But as we dive into today's teaching, I'm not just considering what we're waiting on. Today's focus is about who we're waiting on, specifically the God who was worth waiting for. Now, to be clear, God is omnipresent, meaning he is always present everywhere all the time. So we don't have to wait for God to show up. But we do have to wait for what he chooses to do as he shows up in our lives. Hence, from a faith perspective, how we wait matters. And as we consider this, I'm drawn to Psalm 62. Our focus scripture is Psalm 62, verse 1, and it says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." Well, the writer of this psalm is David. He's an Old Testament king and the writer of many other psalms. And in his writings, David often expressed his need for God to protect him, to forgive him, to provide for him or his fellow Israelites. David often sought God to overcome David's enemies. And yet, in this psalm, Psalm 62, David is less focused on a specific request and more focused on a soulful surrender. Now, both are important, but only surrendering our desires to the Lord is what brings us ultimately the peace that we desire as well. Now, I realize we may be at the beginning of desiring a certain outcome, or we might be at a point of desperation. We may wonder why God hasn't responded in a certain way or by a certain time. I've battled with many of these feelings in my own life, but one of my most impactful times of waiting on the Lord took place from a hospital bed in critical care years ago. My day began that day with a routine outpatient surgery, so I expected to go home the same day. But there were complications during the surgery, and I needed a blood transfusion. However, my body rejected the transfused blood. In other words, the solution that should have worked didn't work. That's often common when we find ourselves waiting. And the doctor told me if I didn't improve in the next few hours, I'd have to have another surgery. Well, at that point, all I could think of was that the first surgery didn't go well. But in my waking moments, I would glance at the clock and I started to notice that the time never changed. I had no idea if I had been in the critical care unit for 2 hours or for 2 days. But then I realized the clock was broken. Weeks later, I would realize that broken clock was a gift to free me from my preoccupation with how long the wait would take. And even as I say this, I know that many of us have been waiting for days, months, and even years for something significant in our lives to shift, for the healing to occur, for the relationship to mend, for the door to open, or for a dream to come true. But David's words come to mind. "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." So one of the first points I want to encourage you with today is don't let go of God's purpose and how the delay is developing your faith. back to my critical care stay, as my preoccupation with time lessened, my dependency on God alone began. The God worth waiting for is never limited by time. And yet our preoccupation, I know for me, my preoccupation with how long we've prayed or how bad things have become can limit our ability to wait well. And so, Wendy, as you consider events in your own life, what encourages you about the God worth waiting for?
I think what came to my mind is I'm thankful for memories. I'm thankful that when I'm in a current wait that feels unbearable, I can look back to prior waits. And some ended exactly as I prayed and asked, and those are the best encouragement, right? But some of those waits did not end with God's will being my will. And so remembering back feels like it would not be encouraging and helpful, but I have to confess, even when the wait didn't end the way I prayed, wanted, or believed it would, what God did in the wait and his denial or closed door helped build my faith and strengthen my trust in him. I was in the word more, desperately longing to learn and listen from him, to understand, to know he was there, that he had a better plan. And most of the time, I didn't really see it right there in the middle, but I do see it on the other side. And trusting him with a no is what allows him to do a new thing in us. And it, for me, this particular situation, I didn't even know what I needed, but he did. And quite often the door he closed was just not the door I was meant to walk through. So over many, many years now as a believer, Joy, I think I've discovered walking in his will rather than mine is so much better. It sometimes just takes me a while to get there.
You're not alone, Wendy. So much of what you said resonates with me as well. Just, you know, you said about thankful for memories, reflections on how God has met us in times of waiting before. And then I loved how you talked about how it's something that trust grows over time. Just as we see, we know God is faithful, but experiencing that faithfulness is certainly an encouragement to our faith. And I believe David had similar reflections as he said in Psalm 62, verse 1, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." And each time I read that scripture, it's how David waited on the Lord that gets my attention. When he says, "My soul waits in silence," in this case, in silence also means in stillness or quiet submission. And so in essence, David stopped the deafening noise of fear and worry, and he silenced his anxious thoughts with his awareness of who God is. When we think about other verses in Psalm 62, I'm thinking of verse 2 now, David said, "He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress." Now, Bible scholar James Montgomery Boyce noted that it's hard to see this in the English text because the Hebrew is almost untranslatable. But in the Hebrew text, the word ak, meaning only or alone, occurs 5 times in the first 8 verses of Psalm 62. We see the terms only or alone in verses 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and once in verse 9. And then Bible scholar Derek Kittner said this about the word ak, again, meaning only or alone. It is an emphasizer to underline a statement or to point to a contrast. Its insistent repetition gives this psalm a tone of special earnestness. And that certainly resonates. And when we are waiting for the Lord, the earnest sincerity that we have to want to trust him. And in Psalm 62, David emphasized that God is God alone. And I love that because for me, I can see how David decided that his longings, his worries, and even his enemies were all subject to the God of his salvation. Using those phrases, my soul, my salvation, God alone is my rock and salvation, David makes deeply personal declarations that are distinctly unique about God. And of course, we know that salvation is a beautiful, multifaceted word. It includes our redemption, our deliverance, and our restoration. And of course, salvation is God's gift to us through Jesus Christ. And as we place our faith in Christ, we have forgiveness of sin and eternal life, but his redemption is expressed in every area of our lives. Which brings me to this next point that's helpful to remember. Don't let go of God's promise to work all things together for our good. Now, First Five friends, you might be familiar with this truth from Romans 8:28, but when life doesn't feel good, and if it looks like it's getting worse, it's natural to wonder how any good could come from something so painful. And in my experience, it's rarely a quick process, but we do have this blessed assurance. The God worth waiting for is the God who remains faithful even when everything else and everyone else fails us. Now back to my hospital stay. Of course, you already know the clock failed me during that time. And for reasons that remain unknown, my body's ability to receive the transfused blood failed me. But in my few waking moments, I began to think about how the blood of Jesus never loses its power. And soon after I focused on Christ's sacrifice, one of the medications that I was given had an adverse effect on me. At that point, I was in and out of consciousness, and I began to speak without much of a filter, which, of course, that could have been a really bad thing or a really hilarious thing. But the nurses said that I began to tell them about Christ's salvation and some of the wonderful things God had done in my life. And I don't know which nurse had been waiting to hear that, the gospel that day, but I do know that I didn't need another surgery. And later the next day, I was transferred out of critical care to a regular room. And a few days later, I went home, and my only sense of time in critical care was going from night to day, from darkness to light, and from panicking to trusting. And so it's helpful for us to remember, First Five friend, that don't let go of God's purpose and how the delay is developing your faith. Don't let go of God's promise to work all things together for your good. But also, don't let go of trusting God's providence over our preferences. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 tells us, God makes all things beautiful in its time. And I realize as time passes, the beautiful thing we want may seem further away, but the beauty God makes in our lives is never far away. David seemed to know this too, and in Psalm 62, verse 8, David encourages us with these words about the God who was worth waiting for. It's one of my favorite scriptures. He says, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." And Selah means for us to pause and calmly think of that. And I can't think of a better note to end on, even as we wait for God to move in the situations in our lives. He is waiting for our trust. He longs to be our refuge. And so in terms of applying any takeaways from today's teaching, and I certainly hope it's been an encouragement to you, consider how can you shift from only focusing on what you're waiting for to also surrendering your desire to the God worth waiting for. Well, to be honest, even after my time in critical care, I'm still learning what it means to wait on the Lord and what it means to wait well. And yet each time I trust in God in my waiting, similar to what Wendy said earlier, I learn to trust him more. Now I see worry. It's a signal from my soul. It tells me that my focus is on what I'm waiting for more than my focus is on the God I'm waiting on. Because as we keep our mind on him, we're kept in perfect peace. And I certainly don't want to spend my time stressing over what I can't control. But with God's strength, I can certainly surrender my desire to the God who controls all things. Thank you so much for joining us today. And Wendy, now back to you.
Aw, thank you, Joe. Wow. What a powerful story. Thank you for just sharing what God taught you as you wrestled with him through that hard time. But I also love that he gave you something really special deep within you to share the gospel when you didn't even know it. That's amazing. Just so many good nuggets for us to take away. So thank you, Joy. I thought I'd close today with a psalm God gave me. He allowed some really hard circumstances in my life just 2 weeks after I became engaged and a few days after my college graduation. I was the victim of a pretty horrific crime. And I remember after 10 years of trying to find answers and seeing him kind of working through things, one day after the 12th year anniversary of what happened to me, he put this psalm in my hands, and it was so beautiful. It says, it's Psalm 41 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. Side note, I really didn't wait very patiently, but I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet upon a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my heart, a hymn of praise to my God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in him. And I think I love that so much because that was the beginning of my calling that I have today as a Bible teacher. But it grew out of something horrible. And so, friend, I think the Lord wants you to know from what Joy talked about today and even what Kelly talked about last week, if you're in that wait and God feels silent, remember he is still with you in the wait and in the silence. He's at work, and on the other side of the holy work he's working in you, he will give you a new story, a testimony so that you can come alongside others in their hard places. It's absolutely a gift to be entrusted with a story to share, even when it's hard.